Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you, as always, in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And in saying that, friend, I want him to be yours. He can be yours. The Word of God tells us he came to be yours in Luke 19:10. The Word of God says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Now listen, friend, if you're in the lost category, today as you start this beautiful day, you can end it in the right category, in the saved category. And it's just a simple matter, but realizing, friend, that you're a sinner, being willing to repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Listen, he'll make you a new creature in Christ. He'll change you. He'll change you to something that you have never been, but when you find out what it is, you'll realize that's what I've always wanted to be. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program. We all always are. I say that often. I don't think I say it every week, but friend, look, we are. I mean, to tell you, it takes some effort and time, and that's not a complaint. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. That's what I'm saying. But what I say is sometimes there's a challenge. There's an angst in getting this ready. What it really is a pressure of duty. And I'm thankful for that. Listen, friend, you know what Debbie and I do when we do this radio program, this radio ministry? We deal with souls that'll either be saved or lost for an eternity. You realize that? We deal with men and women who are headed for eternity. We want to be a blessing. There's three things we want to do. Number one, we want to glorify God. That's what it's all about. Number two, we want to rightly divide this blessed old book. Number three, friend, we want to be a blessing to those that are saved, want to feed God's people, but we also, to those that are lost, want to warn them and tell them to flee the wrath to come. Well, Deb's got a song tuned up, queued up, ready to go. Beautiful song, goes right along with what I'm going to preach on out of the book of Psalm 116. The title of it is, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Is he yours? David said he was his. He can be yours today. Listen, friend, if you're serving the hireling, get in the right flock. Enjoy this song.
Are there times when you feel all alone? And there's times when you just don't feel very strong. That is the time that we lean up. That's where
Can be too, friend. What a beautiful song that is, and what a great thought about having the great shepherd, friend, your shepherd personally. How beautiful that is. Debbie, thank you for the song. Thank you for that beautiful song. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 116, I'm going to read just for the text verse one passage of Scripture, and it will be verse 1. Let me set this up, if I may. I remember one time when I was just a young preacher. Well, a lot younger than what I am now. I've been preaching for a few years, and I had a preaching friend of mine who invited me to his church to preach. The best I remember, it was on a Saturday night. It may have been one of the times that I held revival for him, and just one of those nights of revival. But it seems to me that I was just over on a weekend, and it was on a Saturday. Well, when I first walked in the door, there was an old preacher of the name of Sanford Osborne. I don't know if anybody listening to this ever knew Brother Sanford, but if you didn't, you go to heaven, you'll get to meet him, and you'll know the joy that I have in my heart for him and about him. Well, he liked me, and I liked him. In fact, I loved him, and he loved me. Well, I'll never forget that night. I walked in as a young preacher. Boy, that old gentleman sitting on the front seat, he was looking for me. He knew I was coming. We enjoyed getting together in fellowship when we had a chance. He was looking back at the door when I walked in. He took his finger. You know how somebody will do and hold your finger up and kind of motion it to come here? Well, I obeyed. I walked right up to Brother Sanford, sat down beside of him on the front seat. It was on the left side of the church going in, the right side from the pulpit, but looking up to the pulpit, we are on the front seat on the left side. He said, sit down here a minute. Said, I want you to do me a favor. I sat down. He said, open your Bible. Open your Bible up to Psalm 116 and begin to read. When I tell you to stop, he said, you stop. I sat down, opened my Bible up, and I began to read verse 1. That's what I'm going to read to you today. I'm going to stop exactly where Brother Sanford told me to stop. And I'm going to use this as a text. He said, now start reading. He said, don't forget, stop where I tell you to stop. I began to read and I said, I love the Lord because he said, all right, stop right there. Oh, friend, listen, that's what I'm trying to preach to you today. I want to tell you what the psalmist said, and we ought to be able to relate it to our life without any doubt. If you're saved, say amen. If you're saved, listen to this old country preacher. I'm telling you, friend, there ought to be a lot of reasons. You ought to be able to sit down right now, immediately begin to write you a list like the psalmist did. Write you a list how I like similar to something this unknown psalmist did after the God listened and heard his prayer, answered his prayer, delivered him in a mighty way so that he might glorify him and praise him. Can I ask you something? Before I get into this psalm, when's the last time you stood up and praised your Almighty God for delivering your ornery, undeserving soul from a devil's hell? When's the last time you thank God for healing your children, for blessing your parents, for being gracious with you, long-suffering towards you, merciful to you, reviving you, restoring you? Listen, friend, doing anything but giving you exactly what you deserve. He has bountifully laid upon you mercy and grace. When, sir, ma'am, you that name the name of Christ, you that name the name of the Lord, when's the last time you praised Him, glorified Him, honored Him? When's the last time you've raised your hand in praise? When's the last time when your heart got stirred, when your choir was singing, that you said, bless the Lord? When's the last time when your pastor was preaching, you got just so moved by the message, by the Word of God, that you said, amen, or bless Him, preacher, or thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me? Hey, folks, listen, let me ask you something. Don't you have some reason? Don't you have multiple reasons to bless the Lord, to understand that you love the Lord because of so many things that He has done for you. We know the Word of God says in the book of 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is, maybe verse 16, we love Him because He first loved us. How wonderful it is. But you remember that old song? I don't guess we sing it enough anymore. Maybe there's too many churches that's got too pious and grown too big for the britches. Your mom or dad ever tell you that when you were a youngin'? When you were just a kid and you were at home and you acted in a certain way, mom or dad say, "Now look here, son, you're just acting a little too big for your britches." Oh, listen to me, friend, listen. This old country preacher, if we've got too big to bless the Lord, to praise Him, to verbally and openly manifest our feeling of gratitude, our feeling of praise, our feeling of thanksgiving in the presence of this. You know, there are churches wouldn't know what to do if a man or a woman that was moved by the Spirit of God began to praise God, began to testify. Listen, it would shock some of them. They wouldn't know what to do. They'd want to run them off. I could tell you stories about that, but I don't have time. Don't have time to take in this message. But shouldn't we praise Him? Shouldn't we honor Him? Shouldn't we glorify Him? Shouldn't we be stirred up for all that He is and all that He's done? Let me start right there at the message, if I may. You know what? I believe this is what is known as a He and Me psalm. It's about God and this man, this unknown author, who was at the point of death, and the pains of hell had got hold upon him. I mean to tell you, he was suffering mightily, and he cried out to God. But God not only heard him, but God delivered him. God answered his prayer. God graciously gave him, friend, listen, extended days, if you will. No wonder the psalm is about God Almighty and this individual that knew Him, had walked with Him, that loved Him, had been so graciously blessed by Him. I'll tell you, if you read this psalm and if you count, you'll find that the psalmist used a personal pronoun, I, me, my, or mine, 30 times at least. And oh, shouldn't we have that kind of personal relationship with God? Shouldn't you and I have that kind of affinity toward the One who has saw us by the side of the road lying in our blood, and yet He delivered us from our sins, delivered us from their penalty, delivering us currently from their power, and one day by His grace He will deliver us from them in their presence. Listen, folks, we all ought to roar, lay back and roar, glory, hallelujah. Listen to what the psalmist said. Look, I listen, I'm having trouble getting into this message. I'll leave more unsaid probably than I'll get said. But can I tell you, look, God deserves our praise. God deserves us, like the book of Hebrews says, let us offer unto Him have the sacrifice, offer unto Him the offering of thanksgiving. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. I'll tell you, we owe Him, friend. We owe Him our all and our all. That's what this psalmist tells us. Listen to what he said, verses 1 and 2. He said, I love the Lord because. Are you writing your list? Can I encourage you after you get done listening to this old preacher? Would you just take a few minutes of fruitful time? It'll be an investment. Oh, I'd like to hear from you what happens when you do this, if you do it. I know some of you won't. Some of you will, though. If you just sit down somewhere in a corner, sit down somewhere in your living room, your kitchen, at your study, at your desk, wherever you're at, and just make you a list. If you're traveling, turn your phone on, do a recording, and say, look, I love the Lord because, and then begin to read it back. I'll tell you, before you get done writing it or speaking it, I believe your heart will swell up. I believe your spirit will burst forth in praise and thanksgiving to God for all that He is and all that He's done. And wait just a minute before I start. Before I start this message, and I'm encouraging you, and to thank Him for what He has done. But can I tell you what? All of that is anchored in what He is, in His character. We'll find in this psalm that He is gracious, He's righteous, and He's merciful. And if you're happy about that, would you say glory, hallelujah, like me? Oh, what a gracious Savior. What a wonderful Shepherd. What an almighty God. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, the truth? If He never blessed us, if He was never gracious, if He never extended mercy, He's still worthy of our praise for who He is, for what He is, for where He is, and why He is. He deserves it, but because He is all the above, He blesses us like He does. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live. Aren't you glad God heard you? Now let me tell you something in verses 3 and 4. We're going to find that the psalmist, no doubt in my mind, excuse me, was referring, friend, to a physical issue. I believe that he was ready to die physically. I believe that. I believe some infirmity, some disease, some problem that had fallen upon him. And in the midst of that, he began to cry. So I'm going to go ahead and read verses 3 and 4 to go along with what I want to say about verses 1 and 2. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And look at how verse 4 say it begins. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. How that God that, listen, has inclined His ear unto me. That God who is long-suffering, merciful, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That God, friend, who is a God of all grace. That God who is a God of love, a God of light, a God of life, friend, listen, who is creator and sustainer of all, who is concerned about the soul of man and the eternal destiny of each man, woman, boy, or girl. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, I beg Thee. Listen now what He said. He said, deliver my soul. Y'all do know that Jesus is the deliverer. That's what Savior means. He is the great deliverer. And I know this psalmist, listen now, he was in the grips of death. He was in a battle for his physical life. But if you're saved, can I not stir your mind up to remember when you were dying spiritually? I mean to tell you, I know the application of this is okay, although the interpretation is this psalmist was dealing with some physical malady, some physical issue, how that was bringing him to the edge of a grave, of Sheol. That physical, ailment or infirmity that was come upon him was ready to snuff his life out this side of the grave. And you know what, friend? Those of you that may be listening to me, you're lost and undone. You're not dying spiritually. You're already dead. But can I tell you what? If you'll call on the Lord, if you'll call on Him with a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit, He'll hear you, sir. He'll hear you, ma'am, and He'll deliver you. Oh, thank God for a God like this. Listen to what He says. God is gracious. God, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful in light of what His Son Jesus did at Calvary. He's able to be that. He's able, friend, listen, to forgive sinners. He's able, listen, to quicken us, to make us alive in Christ Jesus. He's able to deliver our soul, listen, from that great eternal ailment of a depraved nature, of a fallen nature, of a sinful nature. Hey, listen, God is able to take that old lump of clay that we are and make us into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hey, I don't know about you, but I love the Lord, don't you? I love the Lord. Look at verse 12. I've got a hurry. Time is up. Pretty much almost all my time is up. The psalmist said, now listen, and I wish I had time to go on to read what he had to say, but in verse 12 he said, what shall I render unto the Lord? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? Do you know what the Word of God tells us? In another psalm, I can't remember the psalm that it is, maybe 103, that He loadeth us daily. With benefits, not just once in a lifetime, but daily. God loadeth us, sinners, saints alike, I believe, with many benefits. Do you know what? If there's anything good in your life, say amen. Whether you're saved or lost, say amen if there are good things in your life. And I know there are, friend. I know there are. You know what? They come from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Listen, it's a pivotal question. What can I do? What can I do, friend? Now, what can I render? It's what David, or what the psalmist said. What can I do in response to what God has done for me? Well, I've only got time to mention him. Listen to what he said in verse 13. I'll take the cup of salvation. Now, I'm going to speak this in two different ways. First of all, I believe what it means here is David says, look, when I take that cup, that drink offering that high priest or that priest is going to pour out for me is a type of me pouring my life out for him, or this animal pouring his life out, or Christ pouring, I'm going to pour my life out for him. That's what he's saying. I'll take the cup of salvation. On the other hand, listen, I'll not be proud. I'll not be arrogant. I'm dying. I'm dead. I need a Savior. So if he's going to reach me a cup of salvation, if he's going to give me something to revive me, to restore me, hey, I'm going to take it. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to give him honor. I'll call upon him. I'll praise him. I'll give him thanksgiving for the rest of my life. He goes on to say in verse 17, not only will I take the cup of salvation, but I'll offer to him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. I'll praise him. I'll glorify him. Can I ask you something? Sir, ma'am, if you're saved, when's the last time you've gone to God in just a prayer of thanksgiving? When's the last time you've just simply went to prayer and didn't ask him for anything, but praised him for everything. Praised him for his love towards you, his salvation he's provided for your family, your job, your health, your friends, even your temptations, even your valleys, even your spiritual warfare. Hey, when's the last time? When's the last time we praised him? When's the last time we've offered him that sacrifice of thanksgiving? Oh, look, one more and I've got to go. He said, not only will I take the cup of salvation, not only will I offer to him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know what he says twice? He said in verse 14 and 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Can I tell you what, friend? We owe him. We can never pay him for what he's done for us. I'm not talking about, friend, that we do something to pay him for the things of grace that he has given us. But if he saved us, we owe him our life. We owe him our love. We owe him our honor. We owe him our respect and reverence. We owe him, friend, all that we are. All that we are. The psalmist said, I'll offer. The psalmist said, I'll pay. You know what we ought to pay? Listen, we ought to pay our life with our life. That's right. We ought to serve him. We ought to love him. We ought to tell others about him. We ought to live for him in a way that he's uplifted, that he's exalted, that he's honored. Oh, friend, I'll tell you what a Savior we have. Wait just a minute. You may not be saved. He came to save you. That's what I told you at the beginning of this program. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Sir, ma'am, if that's you, if you started this day on your way to a devil's hell, a Christless eternity, if you realize that God has raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible said thou shalt be saved. I believe He's calling you right now, or you wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be troubled. You wouldn't be wondering, what can I do to be saved? The Bible says, listen, if thou shalt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Would you do that right now? Humble your heart, bow your head and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. I'm done and I need life and I need it from you. God will hear you. God will save you. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.